Welcome to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. Today we're starting a new series called You Are Here, where Pastor Robert is talking about the four spiritual levels we experience on our journey as Christians. In today's message, Pastor Robert shares there are several things the enemy doesn't want us to know about salvation to hinder us from moving to the next level with Christ. No matter where you are in your faith journey, this is an incredible message. So let's join Pastor Robert now.
We're beginning a new series called You Are Here. And I'm extremely excited about this series. It'll be a four-week series. I'll preach all of the messages in this series. I'm excited about this series because I believe that Jesus gave us a teaching that shows us exactly where we are in our life with God, our journey with God, and how to get to the next step. And the reason I titled it You Are Here, everyone knows about, you know, the You Are Here. You've seen it in a mall or you've seen it in, at an amusement park or something. We used to have season passes to Six Flags when the kids were young. And we would go during the summer on my day off. We would go first thing in the morning because most people didn't get there early. And we'd get there right when it opened. And I remember the first thing we did. We went to the You Are Here sign. And the reason we did that was not to know where we were. We knew where we were, but to know how to get where we wanted to go. And we all had a favorite ride, and we wanted to get there before, you know, all the people showed up and the lines got long. So we'd always go to the You Are Here sign because we would think about, sometimes we'd say, okay, last time we did this one, but now let's go do this one this time. So we try to find the quickest way to get there. Well, that's really what a You Are Here sign is for. It is for the purpose of showing where you are in this journey that you're on, but also how do you get to where you want to go? And there's a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 4 that shows us that. Now, before I show you this passage, let me tell you about a survey that we actually participated in about 7 years ago. There were 525 churches that participated in the survey, 525 churches, and 180,000 people participated in the survey. And the purpose of the survey was to see how well we were as churches discipling people and teaching people God's word. And it helped pastors and leadership to be able to see that. But what came out of this survey was it showed that everyone that's attending church is in one of four groups of people, in one of four stages in your walk with God. And not only did it show that, but it showed how you get to the next stage, or how people, when they answer the question, it showed us how they made that step to the next stage. And immediately when I saw the results of that survey, I thought of Mark 4. And so let me just show you, first of all, a little bit about these four groups, because we're going to talk about this the next 4 weeks here. So let me just show four groups. Don't make any snide remark to the person beside you about my artistic abilities. I actually, one time when I drew on the board before, I made that statement. Don't make a bad remark about my artistic abilities, you know. And afterward, one of the pastors on our staff said, you know, you're always talking about grammar. That's not grammatically incorrect. That's not grammatically correct. And I thought about this, and I went through it, and I thought, yeah, it is. I said, why is that not correct? He said, well, you said don't make a bad remark about my artistic abilities. He said, you should actually say, don't make a remark about my lack of artistic. So anyway, he's selling cars now. So, okay. So what this survey showed was that everyone is in one of four groups of people. The first group are those people who, and I'm just going to put the initials, who are exploring God. Now, I want to show you something else. If you're taking notes and you want to put this, it'll help you. Put a cross right there, because these are people that are actually attending church but have not come to know the Lord as their Savior yet. And we love these people because this is where we all start. All of us have a journey, and people who start exploring God, but they just haven't come to understand that they need to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior yet. So, by the way, this survey was only people attending church. So there's a whole other group of people over here that aren't even attending church. We would call them far from God. The second group are people who are beginning in God. These are people who have accepted Christ now, and they are now beginning in God. The next group are people who are close to God, and they're growing in their relationship even more. And then this last group are people who are God-centered. And I'll show you the difference between close to God and God-centered. By the way, God-centered GC, Gateway Church. That's just something I noticed. And so, and what I'm doing is each of these, each week, I've given them a name, and this week it's fellowship. These are people that are learning to about fellowship, the people in the first group, and we'll, each week, there'll be another word like this over each of these. I'll go and give it to you so you kind of understand. I don't mind. These people are people who are, let me think. Okay, I'll give it to you next week. So anyway, it's driving me crazy now. Yeah, I knew that. I just wanted to do something funny. These are people now who are in relationship with God. They've begun their relationship. These are people who are learning about discipleship. And then these are people who've really entered into and are experiencing on a daily basis the Lordship of Christ. And so we're going to talk about this for the next 4 weeks, all right? Okay, look at Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he again began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and he sat it in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables. Remember the word parables. And he said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground." This is the second group now. "Where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." Here's the third group. "Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." And the fourth group, verse 8, "But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 9 says, "And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, for those of you that have been in church a while, this phrase, "he who has ears to hear, let him hear," is familiar to you. But if you've never been in church, you know, if you think about that phrase, it's a little odd because it sounds like that there were people that day that didn't have ears. And so, you know, they were thinking, okay, oh, that guy, he doesn't have any ears on the side of his head, so Jesus isn't talking to him. Obviously, he's not talking about literal ears. He's talking about spiritual ears. So he said, I'm talking about something spiritual. I want to remind you that the Bible is a spiritual book written by a spiritual being to spiritual beings. So according to 1 Corinthians 2, the natural mind can't understand this book. You can't understand it unless you understand it through the Spirit, all right? So notice verse 10. "When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable." Now watch verse 13. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" Now I don't want us to go past this quickly, because we're reading through the Bible and we go past stuff, you know? And let me just tell you, when you read something in the Bible, you need to stop and think about it. I'm reading through the Bible right now in the Message version. I'm in Colossians today. I was in Colossians. A few weeks ago, I was in Romans. And I was reading through, and I was reading about Abraham. And it said, Abraham did not consider his own importance. And so I took a moment, and I stopped, and I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to consider my own importance. And then I looked back down to continue reading, and I noticed it didn't say importance. It said, Abraham did not consider his own impotence. And the Lord said to me, I'm not telling you you're important, son. I'm telling you you're impotent without me. So anyway, when you read something in the Bible, take a moment, let it sink in. I just want you to let this sink in a moment, all right? Here's what Jesus said. You don't understand this parable? How are you going to understand the rest of them? Now think about that. This is Jesus. Here, in essence, is what he said. If you don't understand this one, you can't understand any of them. How are you going to understand all of the parables if you don't understand this one? So this one's pretty important. That's why we're going to spend 4 weeks on it. All right, look at verse 14. The sower sows the word. He's explaining it now. So seed represents the word in this. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear Satan, so the birds of the air represent Satan in this parable, Satan comes immediately, that's a very important word, immediately, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones, here's the second group, sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it, they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Doesn't say they fall away, just said they stumble. Verse 18, these are the ones sown among thorns. And I'll show you later what thorns represent in the Bible. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful in their lives, in other words. Verse 20, these are the ones, fourth group, sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay, let's talk about this for a moment. First of all, the word parable. The word parable comes from a Greek word, para. It's two Greek words put together, para bole. Parable, para bole. Para means alongside. Bole means to throw. Now, that doesn't make much sense to us unless we think about it. It means to throw something alongside. That's what a parable is. A parable is a story that Jesus would use to throw alongside a truth. So you could see the, understand something in the natural and see the truth. There's another Greek word that has para as part of it, and it's para kletos. Now we say an English kind of version of it, people say paraclete. It's really not the best way to say it, but it's para kletos, and that is the Holy Spirit. Para, again, means alongside. Kletos means to come or to walk. So this is really good news. The Holy Spirit is someone who would like to walk alongside you. So that's what that means. So this is what Jesus is doing. He's telling us this story so that we understand a truth. Now, I misunderstood this parable for years. I actually thought, and many people believe this, that it was talking about three people who were bad people and one person who was good. Three people who didn't receive the word and one who did. But it actually even very clearly says on one of them, they receive the word. So this isn't talking about bad people. Listen carefully. It's talking about a bad enemy. And it's talking about how you overcome the enemy and at each stage of your growth in God. All right? So if you notice, there are four groups, and you could actually put, if you want to, over all four of these, you could put the word growing. Because all of these people are growing. They're all growing. Even this person who's not saved, you say, well, how's that person growing? Okay, well, Jesus said when you get saved, it's like being born again, born from above, born spiritually. Okay, let me just ask you something. does a baby grow in the womb? Are you there? You know I'm talking to you, don't you? Okay, all right. Okay, so yes, so people grow in their understanding of God before they're born again. So we're all growing. By the way, these people who are God-centered haven't arrived. They're still growing. And if you ever stop growing, you'll start going backward. We call it backsliding, right? Okay, all right, so I want you to notice there are four groups. If there are four groups, there are three movements, three steps. You see that? In other words, if I have four fingers here, how many gaps are there? One, two, three. If I were to move from this finger to this finger, that's one move, that's a move, and that's a move. So in this survey now, this is 180,000 people. And it was just to find out how well are we doing as churches discipling people and helping people grow in their understanding of God and His Word. And it was just amazing how it boiled down to these, that every person attending church was in one of these four groups, and every person attending church, it was easy to see one truth that caused them to move from group one to group two, right? So let me show you that truth. If you move from group one to group two, it was because of this one truth that you understood finally. It was the truth of grace. That's how people move. Let me say another way. People in this category, when they talk, and all three of these, but when they talked about salvation, they said, I strongly agree that nothing I have ever done or ever will do could earn my salvation. But people who were over here thought, no, I have to do something to earn it. But once they understood grace, they could move over here. That's how you become a believer, as you understand Jesus paid for your sins and you accept that. You accept Him as your Savior. You follow me? Okay. People that moved from group two to group three was people who began to have an understanding of God's Word as the final authority in their life. In other words, when a person gets saved, he thinks the Bible's a good book, and it is, it's God's Word. But once you understand, no, wait a minute. This is God's Word to my life. This is how I run my life. I want to know how to run my business. I want to know how to be married. I want to know how to raise my children. It's in the book. This is not just a good book. This is the book. And once people begin to recognize God's Word as the final authority in their life, you know, when I used to be able to talk with people about their marriage, going through marriage difficulties, I'd always have to come to that point. Let me just ask you something, sir, ma'am, is God's Word the final authority in your life? Because if it is, we can fix this marriage. If it's not, I can't help you. So people who begin to move and grow in their relationship with God, they understood that. Now, this third move I got really excited about, and I want to remind you, this is a survey again, 525 churches, 180,000 people, but one truth, people move from the third group to the fourth group. Watch the word. You're gonna see that I really like it. When they understood the truth of giving. This was a survey now, okay? It just proves I was right. All right? But that's the theme of the Bible right there. Now, but listen, it's not just giving money. It's giving your life. It's giving your life away for the kingdom of God. These people understood, I'm not on the earth for me, I'm on the earth for the kingdom of God. And this is when God became God-centered, and they begin to give of their time, their talents, and their treasure. You can also think about this as friendship. They all have ship. I'm gifted that way. But you can think about this as friendship, okay? These people really don't know Christ. They've never met Him. They've only heard about Him. He's not a friend yet, okay? These people, now He's a friend. He's become their friend. They have actually met Him and been introduced to Him through salvation, so He's a friend. These people, He's the best friend. He's their best friend. They talk to Him. As a matter of fact, in the survey, these people rarely talk to God. These people occasionally talk to God. This is how we can tell the difference. These people frequently talk to God, and these people talk to God often. So this is best friend. You say, so what's a higher than that? Well, in our society, Unfortunately, it's difficult sometimes for some people to relate to this because of the society we live in, the sin, the fallen nature that we live in, and it's gotten to such a degree we don't understand this, but I'm going to show you. I'll give it to you in another terms. This is the person that not only are you married to, but it's your soulmate, as Jimmy said a few weeks ago. It's the person you've been married to 35 years, and you lay your life down for that person. That's when you see all of a sudden the Lord is now your husband, your spouse, and you enter into a deeper relationship. So this took me a while to lay this out. I understand that, but we're focusing on people who are exploring God this week. And, all right? So let me just show you again. Look back at Mark 4, verse 14. It says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Okay, couple things I want to share about this. This is Jesus talking, remember. First of all, this is going to shock you, but Satan can take the word out of your heart. That's what Jesus said. So if you disagree with me, I don't need an email on it. Email him. Tell him, I don't believe Satan can take the word out of your heart. But don't email me, email him. Because I didn't say that, he said that. Satan, this is in red, by the way, okay? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, I'm going to get in this series, I'm going to get into this later. This is why you need to protect your heart. Because your heart is the ground that can produce 30, 60, or 100 fold. Or Satan can take the word out of your heart. So it's very important. Now, you say, well, I'm not in that group. I don't need to hear this message. Yes, you do, because even if you're not in the group exploring God, you know someone in this group. Is that right? You know someone in that group. You're either in this first group or you know someone in this group. And here's what's amazing. Have you ever had someone that you've been working on and they go through a difficulty or a tragedy and they're all of a sudden open to God? You ever had that? And they're real open to God. And they even talk to you and they ask for your prayers and all, and a few weeks go by and they're not open anymore. You ever seen that? You know why? Because Satan followed up on them immediately. The word was sown in their heart and Satan came and took it out. So I have a question for you. If Satan follows up on people immediately, why don't we? Why don't we follow up on them immediately? Okay, now this same parable in Mark 4 is in Matthew 13. And Luke 8. You don't need to turn to those, but I'm just going to read you that one verse in those passages as well. And hopefully, the next few weeks, you could read this in all the Gospels and maybe in different versions. Matthew 13, verse 19 says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the gospel, "and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." Now, why does God want you to understand it? Well, Luke 8 tells us, again, same verse, verse 12, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Did I not tell you that these people haven't been saved yet? See, lest they believe and be saved. So, either you know someone in this group, or you're in this group. So I know I'm getting to these points late, but I won't spend much time on them. But here are three things that you need to know if you're in the Exploring God group so that you can understand the word and be saved. Number one, this is on salvation. It's not based on works. It's not based on works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Listen, I've got good news for you. If you want to go to heaven, it's not based on your works. That's good news. It's based on his work. John 6, verses 28, 29, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Even plural, work the works, plural of God. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That's how you get saved. Now, let me just say something, by the way, okay? These people are still growing. I have noticed more than anything, one of the greatest battles against people I know who are in this group is to get them back in works. It's amazing to me. Because when you got saved, you knew that you didn't deserve it. There was no doubt you didn't deserve it. But now it's 20 years later, and you're a leader in the church, and you know the word of God, and you tithe. You still don't deserve it. It's still by his grace. It's by his grace. Ephesians says it's a gift. It's a gift. So point number one, it's not by works. Here's number two, it's a free gift. I've got even better news for you. Not only is it a gift, it's free. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Notice wages, that's what you get if you work for it. That's what you get paid, death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know there's an old hymn, but listen to me carefully. Jesus paid it all. He did not make a down payment on your salvation, and you have to pay the rest. He paid it all. That's good. Is that good news? That's good news, isn't it? He paid it all. You just receive it. It's like he made a deposit in your name, and if you'll just go and sign up, you can receive it. That's what this is. Here's number three. It's easy to receive. We're talking about salvation. It's easy to receive. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the Bible. Don't complicate what God made simple. God took the most complicated issue in the world. How can a sinful person have a relationship with a holy God? And he made it simple. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Debbie and I were on a trip a few years ago. So we're in Guatemala, so Debbie wants to go shopping one day, you know? And so we're going shopping, and I'm walking along, and I'm thinking how much I hate to shop. That's what I'm thinking, how much I hate to shop. And the Lord said to me, what do you hate more than anything on this earth? And I said, shopping. That's what I hate more than anything, shopping. And he was setting me up, and he said, uh-huh. And what do you love more than anything on this earth, to do more than anything on this earth? And I said, connect people to God. It just came out of my mouth. Whether a person is in any of these groups, whether it's an unbeliever or a believer or a very mature believer, I like to help connect people to God. That excites me more than anything. I said, I like to connect people to God. And he said, uh-huh. He said, why don't you do what you love to do right now? And I thought, wow, that gives it a whole new perspective. And so we walked in this store right when the Holy Spirit said that to me, and they were playing Christian music. And I just had this little impression. That's how you witness. You just have a little impression, and you follow that impression. So I asked Juan Constantino was with us, and he speaks Spanish. And so I said, hey, find out if the owner's here. And he did, and the owner came out, and thinking out, you know, I was going to complain about something. And I said to him, is that Christian music through Juan? And he said, yes. And I said, are you a Christian? And he said, no. And I said, ask him why he's listening then to Christian music if he's not a Christian. And he said, because I like it. I like it. And I had this phrase come to my mind. And I said to him, has anyone ever told you that it's easy to become a Christian? And his eyes lit up like this, and he said, no, they've told me just the opposite, that it's very hard to become a Christian. And I said to him, that's not true. And I just took him through a few verses in the Bible, and in about 5 minutes, he accepted Christ. And we had some policemen that were with us that were going around with us, and they were believers. So I called them over, introduced them, and I said, this guy just said to Christ, can you take him to church? And so they did. They came by, handcuffed him, took him to church. No, I'm kidding. but They said, yes, we'd love to take him to church. And they made a connection and got him, like we talk about the men's summit, getting in a group of men. They got him in a small group that they had as well. A year later, I was back. And I remembered about this guy. And I said, the same policemen were with us. And I said to them, hey, tell me about that guy that owned that shop that got saved. Here's what they said. That guy is on fire for God. He is on fire for God. And they said, you know that little shopping area where you were? He's won over half of the shop owners to Christ since that time. Over half of them. You know why? Because someone told him about grace.
We want you to take a moment to think about what Pastor Robert shared today and really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If you want to connect with us or check out some of Pastor Robert's other messages, visit PastorRobert.com. And if you haven't already, go follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so we can be a part of your community. Thank you so much for joining us for the beginning of this series. Next time, Pastor Robert is going to share that reading the Bible is the key to how we grow spiritually and get closer to the Lord. Until then, have a blessed day.